Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric Tungwana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Tim Jensen with Pepperdine Volleyball.
The story in real time.
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
I'm not retiring, people.
You're listening to The Net Line with Barney.
I dominated.
Peter.
We're into that because we're horny for volleyball.
Reed.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
And DJ Rouché.
The baddest DJ in the land.
It's The Net Live right now.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is The Net Live, and it is right now. Right now. Welcome to the studio. I'm Kevin Barnett, joined, as it seems like always, by Jeremy Rouché. You're not even going to be referred to as a DJ of the show anymore because you're holding down a mic. You're just Jeremy Rouché.
Nice. I like that.
Volleyball expert. Expert at the high spatchy.
Oh,
into the water.
Sure. I high spatchy some balls in Turks.
You just returned from Turks and Caicos. We had a nice picture of Volleyball Magazine last year from your trip there.
Yeah.
With the high spatchy. Did you return to that or have you developed new shots in the last year?
I have many other shots in the high spatchy to the water, but I can guarantee you I had some of those while I was there. Just to let people know I can still do it.
It's your signature.
Yeah. I don't think there's any photo evidence of it this year, thankfully.
You're sporting a NetLive shirt.
I am.
Was anyone else in Turks and Caicos sporting a NetLive t-shirt?
Besides myself, no, but there were people, fans of the show.
Okay.
Somebody from Scotland, by the way.
Oh, says, shout out to Scotland,
yeah.
Glasgow.
Says, I listened to the show. I was like, good. And I took full credit for it.
Well, he actually didn't say, I listened to the show. He said, I listened to your show.
It's exactly what he said.
Correct, yes.
And everybody's asking, what are they doing without you while you're here? And I said, obviously they had to cancel all the shows while I was gone.
We did cancel last week, took a little bit of a break, and welcome back into Jeremy Rouché's The Net Live. Here's what we have on Jeremy Rouché's The Net Live today. Women's World Cup. Women finishing well in that tournament. We'll have a full recap of that. The Men's World Cup underway, a couple of matches in. We'll talk about their early results. The Beach Hall of Fame. I thought Geeter was there. Apparently he was not.
No photo evidence.
Apparently he was not there. It was a bunch of old guys and Chris Marlowe, who I think is on the Dick Clark plan. Whatever Marlowe is doing to himself, I'm not sure, but he looks fantastic. And so I'll report on that. Hopefully Chris Brown, who hosted the thing, CBBA President Chris Brown, we're working to get him in. That is a maybe on Chris Brown calling in. Six-man news. Everyone's heard about the six-man on this program. There were some interesting developments with it this week.
Going to be some unhappy people.
Yes, and mostly the bar owners of Manhattan Beach will be unhappy people. NCAA tourney time coming up. We've had a lot of conference tournaments, lots of results. We'll touch on those a little bit. And then, of course, the College Volleyball Weekly, we will hit it out of the park with Mike Sonheimer, Brandon Rosenthal, and perhaps Holly McPeak talking about the upcoming section show next Sunday. So that tournament just about to get underway. It's going to be a good one. And, of course, culminating in San Antone, December 15th through the 19th. The Net Live will be present and accounted for. On that Friday, we're going to have a program. We're working on a little contest.
Interesting.
Details to be announced. But we are working on a little contest with a real prize. So that will be held at the ABCA convention. If people are going to be at convention, we're going to have a booth. We're going to have an event at the booth. It's going to be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we will have to rename the program between now and then because Jeremy Rouché will be in Qatar.
Qatar,
because you're an international DJ all-star at this point.
I'm Or
an unemployed NBA DJ. I don't know which one.
It depends on how you look at it. I'm kind of a big deal, Kevin. I know it takes some people some time to recognize that, but I am going to Qatar 2 weeks in December for the ARAB games, basically the same thing as our Pan Am games.
Is it the ARAB games or the ARAB?
Arab, that's totally my fault. Please don't kill me or send hate letters.
Yeah. Jeremy Rouché is sensitive to cultural differences.
Totally.
Well, this past weekend, I had an opportunity to be on the internets, as Bill Maher likes to put it. Questions from the internets. I was on the internets for the CIF Southern Section 4 Championships presented by Farmers. Did the 2AA game and the 3AA championship match.
How was that?
It was fun. Downey Vikings in the 2A took down their second title in 2 years up against, who did they play?
You were there.
I was there. Whittier Christian is who they played. That was a good five-gamer, five-set match, if you prefer. Myself and Kevin Wong doing the action. I've been kind of accustomed now to the international series where it sets, and I know you don't like this.
I don't, one bit.
But anyway, so you have during the same broadcast, I'm calling it sets, he's calling it games. Very confusing.
Love it.
But it was a lot of fun, good five-set match. And then we moved on to Chadwick, the Chadwick Dolphins, facing off with who? Let me think. God, I got to think back to.
As long as you know who won.
Who they were playing. Oh, the Chadwick Dolphins won, but it was, you know, just a couple of days ago, but it seems like a lifetime ago because they're going to have to switch football.
So much going
on,
you had to move on from that.
I got to think back. Let me pull out my book and figure out who on earth I announced this past week. That was the Pasadena Poly Panthers is who it was. Say that three times.
I can't, actually.
Pasadena Poly Panthers. So, yeah, Pasadena Poly Panthers versus Chadwick. And kind of an interesting tie-in for my family. The Chadwick coach, Chadwick the defending champion, the Chadwick coach, Anita Drennan, has coached her 27 years. But she missed last year due to health issues. So the team won the championship last year. Defending champ under an interim coach. Anita back this year. Wins a championship since the first time since 1989.
Wow.
On that 1989 CIF championship squad, my wife.
Nice.
So she was in the audience with the boys. They had a lot of fun watching Chadwick take home their CIF championship. Second consecutive for them. So a little update on what's going on some of the volleyball here. I know around the rest of the nation, you guys are definitely having high school playoffs and lots of good finishes. I was actually impressed with the level of play. I thought it was going to be a little sketchy. And while the girls aren't hitting the ball with as much pace and some of the things are a little bit ragged, they really get after. They extend rallies and played some really nice defense on some driven balls for that level. I was impressed with all the teams at each game.
Well, if it's going five, I mean, that's at least they were evenly matched, I would think.
Yeah, it was kind of blowout set one, blowout set two, tight set three, set four a little bit off, and then a tight set five. So. Yeah, good matches there. Let's jump right in. Let's jump into Women's World Cup right now because this is the thing I finished up this past week. Came back from Nashville where I was down doing the Atlantic Sun Championship Banquet and Tournament. I had to rush back here to finish up Women's World Cup on NBC Universal. And the first thing that comes to mind from this team, who did finish second, by the way, just second to Italy, who took down the victory, and ahead of China, who finished third, is that Destiny Hooker is sick. I got asked during the broadcast if she's the best hitter in the world, and I kind of hedged on it, hemmed and hawed on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she's one of the best hitters right now for her for her team, as far as she's one of the best hitters in the world for her team, basically. So she's carrying a big load for the Americans.
Gotcha.
She's not one of the most complete players yet, but, boy, she's doing some fantastic stuff siding out. She and Lindsey Berg are connecting quickly. With pace and tempo, it's fantastic to watch. So Hooker definitely developing into a real star in the game. She is a real star in the game. Now we'll see if she develops into a complete player. She can't serve a lick.
Underhand?
She ought to. I mean, they keep talking about, oh, her jump flow, but it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And there's no reason she shouldn't get back there and be bombing jump serves. Because you watch her bomb out of the back row and you wonder, why can't you just hit a high ball from 30 feet? I don't quite understand why you can't drive the ball from 30 feet the way you drive it from 10. I
wonder if it's mental.
I think it's just lack of experience.
Gotcha.
And we've talked about this in the program before, and I've talked to a lot of coaches on the female side of the game. And one of the big issues is that all the coaches who are teaching it today, minus some of the men's coaches who played in the last 15 years, most of the coaches have no clue how to teach it. They've never seen it.
How to teach a woman to jump serve?
Correct. And we're talking about the junior level and then on into the NCAA level. They have no clue how to teach it. So how can you develop that skill if you as a coach don't understand that skill nor how to teach it, and you as a coach aren't willing to put up with the learning curve to get the potential benefit on the backside?
Yeah.
Basically what they ought to do is tape Jordan Larson and have everybody do it like that.
Yes.
I think that's what they ought to do because Jordan Larson has got it down, and I wonder who taught it to her. That person should be hosting coaching clinics all over the United States of America. Well, the Americans did qualify. As I mentioned, they finished second. Italy first in what was a fantastic performance. Italy as a wild card entry, not even winning the European Championship, not even appearing in the finals of the European Championship, as that was Germany and Serbia, comes on and goes 10-1.
Wow.
Yeah. The Americans go 9-2. Americans with losses to Japan in the final match, which had they won, they would have been the champion, so they won in 3 or 4. And also, who did they lose to in the middle? I'm trying to think of who they dropped a game to, or a match to. So it's been a busy week,
obviously.
Yeah. So the Americans, with a strong finish and a good finish for them, this is the third consecutive time that they have qualified through this event. You must finish top three. So they, in fact, are London-bound and on their way.
Let me ask you this. They wouldn't have qualified in this tournament. Could they have still qualified for the Olympics later on?
Yes. You would go through a zonal qualification, which would have happened.
And now they don't have to do...
They do not.
Gotcha.
They do not have to do that, which is fantastic for them because it's a real hassle to try and do that. I'm going to look at the results and standings here. So, yeah, the women qualified. I think Lindsey Berg, fantastic year for her. She was the biggest difference this season to last for the Americans. And their results, she's running an offense. She's putting the ball all over the place. I thought against Italy, they did a great job of getting the middles involved. Finally, they passed the ball well enough to get the middles involved. And I think you have to do that. I think if you go four sets, each one of your middles must have at least 20 attempts. I think that's one of the keys to winning. And I, as an outside hitter, I didn't used to feel that way.
Because you wanted every single ball set to you.
Exactly. Set me. I can do it. Don't bother with anyone else. But given that I've actually matured as an individual and watched the game now as an analyst, I definitely feel like you have to have some good middles. USA-China was a 3-2 barn burner. That was in the also final round. The Americans getting through what was a very tough match. I think there are a few issues. The last match, as I mentioned, was a stinker for the United States against Japan, lost 3-0, in a match that you can't replicate the atmosphere for anywhere else. And I'm not talking about the crowd, which in Japan is fantastic, 12,000 people. I'm talking about the idea that you have come to a tournament to achieve a goal, that is to qualify for the Olympic Games. Because of the structure of the tournament with no playoffs, just a straight 11-match schedule, you've qualified, you're done. It's 11 matches in 14 days. It's an unbelievably grueling schedule, mentally and physically taxing.
Like they knew, obviously, before that match.
No, they're done.
Yeah.
They know they're qualified. The only thing is, are you going to win the tournament or finish second? Which sounds like, to the average person, oh, you need to win. You have that same commitment. They come out with that same commitment, but don't tell me that it doesn't affect you in a match that you're playing where you're done. You're finished. It's already over. It's definitely going to affect you, and there's no other tournament where that's going to happen. It's not like a championship gold medal match in the Olympics or any other tournament where you're up for it. A gold medal's on the line. You're up for it. You're pumped. That's the success, right, winning that tournament because there is nothing else. This, the whole goal is to qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah,
that's already passed.
Yeah. So subconsciously, you already, even if you're going into going, we want to win, which obviously I'm sure they do because they're competitive, but subconsciously you're like, I don't need to give it 110% because I'm in.
Correct.
I did what I came here to do.
A very strange match, and the women did not react well to it. Ended up with a 3-0 loss to what is normally a rather inferior Japanese team to this American squad. But I think there are a few issues going forward, things to watch going into next season as the women now prepare for London. You can actually say that, prepare for London.
I like it.
Outside hitters, there are some passing issues at times. And this extends all the way to Logan Thom, who at times became a serving target. I thought Nicole Davis had a great tournament, struggled early on, but I felt like took control of the service reception and really did a nice job. And then the other outside hitting position. This is a question for me, that other outside hitting position. You had Logan Thom at one outside hitter. The other one was Jordan Larson, started, I think, every match. Megan Hodge, and then Cynthia Barboza. Those are the three players who were at that other position. They're basically, when you distill it down, they are shades of gray of the same player. None of them really pass that well. They're all pretty good at the net. And you got to wonder when you have passing trouble from that spot. When Jordan gets into passing trouble. And you go to the bench, you end up putting in the same player who's still the serving target, who's still going to struggle at that position playing outside. So you're hoping that one out of the three of them kind of puts it together for any given night.
Yeah.
You don't have a change of pace. You don't have a sub that you could put in across just the back row to give Jordan an opportunity to come out, get some water, get talked to by the coaches, relax, watch the game for three rotations, and then go back in. I think you have to have that option. The United States has carried two DSs for a long time, a libero and a DS, Sakura and Davis, mm-hmm. on rosters for a long time, including the 2008 games. And I felt like they missed that possible substitution. Sakura is still coming back from injury in this tournament.
Did she play?
Sakura?
Yeah.
She played in practice and in the scrimmage, but she did not go to the tournament.
Okay.
So I wonder if it's not Sakura, is it somebody else, a girl from Washington? Will she come in and play libero? And will they carry that into matches? I wonder. I also wonder about the age, Logan's age, Heather Bound's age, Scott Ahuda, still in the middle looking for her fifth Olympic Games, her age, Berg and her knees and her age. Will they make it another year? Everything looks like they will,
yeah.
But those are question marks that I have. Middle blocker, that third middle blocking position. Heather Bound, Feluka Akinrodwa, who is, again, fantastic. Great to have on the floor. Looks like a fantastic teammate. Playing well. But who's that third middle? Scott Ahuda was in that role. We've seen Jen Thomas in that role early on in Grand Prix. I wonder who that third blocker is going to be. And I think Sakura. Sakura is the biggest wild card to me. Will she come back? Will she be able to recapture her playing ability and be able to bring back not only her playing ability, but some of that emotion that she can bring on the floor with some of the great plays.
Well, that emotion is just so big for the rest of the team, I would think, too.
It's huge. It's huge. When things aren't going well, she's someone you can put in that would change the face of what's happening out there. And I think they need that because Logan is kind of quiet. Berg, I don't see Berg inspiring everybody necessarily, demonstratively anyway.
Yeah.
I think she's a good leader. I think she's communicative. I watch her on the floor. She's talking to her teammates. She's into it. I like the way she runs that position. But if you're going to talk about a spark plug, I don't think she's a spark plug. I think she's a constant leadership presence, which is what I think you want out of your setter. Bound in the middle, not terribly over vocal. Feluka Akinrodwa, smiley, happy, working hard, always there, a positive influence for sure. But if you're looking for somebody that's going to provide some spark, some just kind of genuine, here we go, ladies, Sakura has been that person.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's Sakura or somebody else, you'd like to have that when things aren't going well. And I don't think this team suffers from any kind of spiraling issues.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that they can get off that even kind of lower than average keel when they're stuck there. They have a hard time getting off that, and I think somebody like Sakura might help.
Now, with all that being said, do you have them favored as a medalist?
They are now world number one by virtue of the 12-month calendar and their success in this tournament. It's a 12-month rolling calendar of results that determines world number one. So for the first time in 4 years, Brazil is out of the number one spot the United States is in. I would have to classify them as my favorites.
Okay.
Their performances in Grand Prix, two-time defending champion, their performance at this tournament, against great teams, against Brazil, who, by the way, was the biggest disappointment of this tournament, finishing fifth. I have to give the women the favorite role.
Okay.
They are the favorite. And I hope that they go and they take down their first gold medal, a couple of silver medals to their credit, 08 and 84. I think the chances of them taking home a gold medal are fantastic.
I like that. I think it's going to be an exciting Olympics.
I think it's going to be a great Olympics. Now, the question is, will the men qualify?
He's there, and they're doing that right now.
The men have just started. The men are a different situation. Totally different situation. They're going to this tournament. Right now, they're 1-1. They 3-0'd China, and they went 1-3 to Brazil. And went 1-3 pretty quietly, honestly. They won one set, I think, 16, but the other sets, they got beat up pretty good. You're looking at 17, 18, 16. That's pretty good control from Brazil of the American side. And we're talking about extending leads 16-10 in the fourth. So the Americans go there, and really this team and our own Reed Pretty go to this tournament, and I said before it started, they could finish first, they could finish ninth.
Yeah.
The odds of them finishing ninth are a little bit greater than of finishing first. I think unfortunately, they're really right around that fourth spot again, which is where the Americans have been the last two times this tournament has been held. They have finished fourth. I think maybe the last three times this tournament's been held, finished fourth and failed to qualify. That includes a couple of times when they needed wins against easy teams.
Yeah.
Korea, Canada, those types of teams. And on the women's side, there's this great system, right? There's the Huma Kuchin system that you always fall back on if things are going poorly. On the men's side, I don't see a similar system. I don't see a similar faith in a certain ideology that the women exhibit and that Huma Kuchin teams have exhibited.
How long have they been with this new coaching staff?
Since just before the year following the Olympics, just before 09, April 1st, 09. It's been a struggle. A coaching staff that did not know international volleyball. Was behind the eight ball as far as timing coming in.
Yeah.
Lots of injuries. They finally felt like they had their best team on the floor, and Reed Pretty gets injured in training. Gets his face crushed in a wildly unusual event.
Let's say they don't qualify. Do you think it's better for them to then they would have to play in that other tournament to try to qualify for the Olympics? Is it better for them to play more games with each other?
No. No, you want to qualify.
Okay.
And if you don't qualify, then you hope that Cuba qualifies. You hope that Cuba gets out of your zone. And Cuba likewise hopes the Americans get out of their zone so it doesn't set up another scenario where they're fighting it out for that one spot.
Yep.
So the Americans go 3-0 China, 1-3 Brazil, 1-3 including a negative hitting performance from Reed Pretty and from Clay Stanley, and that's never going to get it done. Looking at Reed Pretty's number, 4 kills on 17 attempts, blocked 3 times, hit 2 balls out.
It's not good.
That's not good. Clay Stanley, 4 kills, blocked 6 times, 2 balls out on 23.
Wow.
Yeah. One bright spot, Matt Anderson, 17 kills, blocked 6 times, no errors on 32. Not bad. Receiving numbers for Anderson, okay. The Americans getting aced 4 times, giving up 5, or pardon me, getting aced 5 times and getting 4, but getting outblocked 16-10. So Japan or Brazil, pardon me, pretty well in control of that match.
Yeah.
And showing why they are number one ranked in the world. Next up for the Americans, no rest for the wicked, Russia.
Doesn't get easier.
Russia, who I think is actually the best team in the world, although they continue to try and prove themselves wrong. Be wrong.
And is Reed still wearing the face mask, or did he bail on that?
No, he bailed on that. He's been wearing some goggles, some Nike glasses. But there's some real questions with this group. What if Clay has a bad match? Who do you put in?
Yeah.
That's the biggest of the issues. Is Reed really healthy as far as his vision goes? The outside hitting spots, Anderson playing well. What about Lottman? What about Rooney? Both there. Libero, Rich Lamborn. Backup libero now, Riley Salmon. Taking on this particular event. Young middles, Thornton. Or pardon, not Thornton. Thornton was a setter, pardon me. Max Holt. So, Russell Holmes also. And is Thornton the man?
Yeah, isn't setting the biggest question for this team?
Hansen started this match. Kevin Hansen out of Stanford, 2008 Olympian. Did a great job in 08, backing up Lloyd Ball. Came in, played a couple of great matches. Hansen started this match. Thornton came in partway through set two, started sets 3 and 4. Setting is the biggest question. So we'll see what happens. The other interesting results in that tournament, Poland defeats Cuba 3-0. Argentina beats Serbia. Argentina, a dangerous young team, and Iran beats Japan. I figure Iran beats Japan. Overall, the men's side, much stronger than the women's side.
Yeah.
Much more difficult tournament.
So their biggest competition is going to be Brazil and Russia.
Brazil, Russia, but then there's a host of others. Poland, Argentina, Serbia, Italy, all capable of finishing third.
And so they got to go hopefully 9-2 or 8-3 to qualify, most likely.
Yeah, 9-2 might get it done.
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe. It's definitely going to be a very difficult tournament for these men, and that is because it's a very deep squad worldwide.
Do they play a match a day?
Same thing, 11 matches, 14 days, I believe. Days, I have to check the exact titles, but the teams in tournament, Argentina, Brazil, China, Cuba, Egypt, Iran, Italy, Japan, Poland, Russia, Serbia, United States. There's only a couple of rollovers in there. Iran, you got to figure they're a rollover, although they just defeated Japan, so maybe Japan is the rollover, so that's two. That's it, two. China, who the U.S. already defeated, not very good either, so maybe three, although all three of those teams capable of playing well on any given day. It's not like a Kenya on the women's side, where you just know it's not going to happen. So Argentina, dangerous. Brazil, world number one. Cuba, a young team on the rise that can get hot all the time. Egypt, I don't give the Egyptians much. Iran, who apparently is better than Egypt. Italy, a team that keeps hanging in there. And as I said, could be around third place, fourth place. Japan, no good. Poland, Russia, Serbia, all very good teams. So, interesting omission from here is France. France missing.
My people?
You're French?
Ish. My last name's French.
Rouchy?
Yep. Rouche? Roach?
Rouchy? Rouchy.
It gets better.
So, there'll be much more to come in that tournament. Universal Sports has all of those matches. So, we want to check it out. We're going to take a break.
Sweet.
DJ Roche.
I'm in.
Wasn't the same without your music.
I like being back.
Hey, if you want to keep in touch with us during the week, we've had great emails, thenetlive@gmail.com or facebook.com/thenetlive. We always like hearing from people. Well, fade it in, fade it out.
Yes, I feel like it's really loud right now. Nah, keep talking.
We have much more to come. We were supposed to have a great guest coming on. It's kind of up in the air. We're going to hang on to it. Checking with the NCAA right now to see if it's going to be all right.
They're allowed to come on our
show. And I'm not kidding. So we're working on it. Diana Turnham is supposed to join us, but getting some information from our bookers that the NCAA may have an issue with it.
Not allowed to speak to us?
The issue is we've hammered them for the last few weeks
of the
program.
Is Kevin Barnett crushes us every week. We don't know if we want to send anybody to your show.
You got it. The Net Live, right back in a moment.
Thank you.
Into the Net live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Appreciate you tuning in. The Monday before Thanksgiving. The Monday after for Los Angeles, we received an inch and a half of rain yesterday, and it's like the apocalypse.
People are in a full panic.
You would have thought frogs were dropping from the sky, crickets and stuff.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria. Yeah, crazy, crazy weather for L.A., a little bit of rain. Everybody, we have to understand this place does not soak up rain.
No.
It's totally concrete and sand, so pretty much the water has nowhere to go. But we appreciate you tuning in here. We are sitting aloft high and dry. If you want to connect with us during the week, thenetlive@gmail.com, facebook.com/thenetlive. And if you want to get a t-shirt, a NetLive t-shirt, we've had a couple of reorders of NetLive t-shirts, people getting them and loving them. Vala Clothing, V-A-L-A, clothing.com.
It's a good Christmas gift.
It is.
Or whatever other holiday you celebrate.
Kwanzaa?
Sure.
Always makes me think of Justin Timberlake. Something in a box.
I always like Festivus for the rest of us.
The airing of grievances?
Yes.
While holding the pole? I always love that.
Good times.
Hey, good note on the chat board from BJ Evans from USA Volleyball about Iran. True, Iran beat everybody in the Asian zone. Figure out how Iran ends up in the Asian zone. I guess we don't have a Middle East zone. But Iran, in fact, the Asian champion this past year. So a decent team there in the Men's World Cup.
I like that.
That's the thing about the Men's World Cup. They're decent teams come out of nowhere.
I'm going to be near Iran in a few weeks.
Good for you. Sugar Ray going?
Nope.
All by yourself?
Okay. It's a pretty expensive flight to get to Qatar.
Someone's not covering you or what?
No, they're covering me.
Oh, I see.
But flying her over there would really cut into my profits.
All right, so keep your eyes out. Watch the Men's World Cup on Universal Sports over the next couple of weeks. Let's talk about six-man, Jeremy. It's an event we've talked about routinely on this program and the issues surrounding it.
A lot of unhappy people, Kevin.
This is a big costume tournament, been going on for many, many years in Manhattan Beach, and has turned into a massive party. Massive is not an underestimation of what happens out there on the beach. 50,000 people, give or take, out on the beach on a Saturday for a whole bunch of volleyball. It is packed within a little over a quarter mile of beach or so.
Yeah, like a five-block radius.
Yeah, just wall-to-wall people. It's a great event if you haven't had a chance to go to it. I don't know that you ever will because it used to be over the weekend, and is it Labor Day weekend? First weekend in August they would have it. And the party has gotten too big for the residents of Manhattan Beach where it's held.
Well, apparently it got too big for the beach.
Well, they pushed it off the beach.
Oh, yeah.
The party used to be on the beach. The party used to be on the beach. People would bring down kegs and bury them in the sand, or people would bring down coolers and jello shots and all kinds of crazy
legal
stuff. Not legal.
Out there. Not legal.
Not legal to drink on the beach, but everybody knew what was going on. So the party stayed down in the sand. It's loud, raucous, sound systems, whatever. It's going off. It's part of the International Surf Festival with a whole bunch of events all week long.
It's beach volleyball's Mardi Gras.
It is.
Yep.
It is, minus the confetti and the flashing. Although, maybe there's changes to be made. So this event was a big success, and once the internet allowed for people to learn more and more about these large parties, it was named Playboy's top 10 parties in the world, I think it was, at least in the United States. Go back and consult the article.
Yes.
It got more popular. People started making it a pilgrimage for themselves, and more spectators started showing up outside of just the volleyball players themselves. And it's always been a drunk fest on Saturday, and then Sunday some serious high-quality volleyball.
Yep.
Well, now the city of Manhattan Beach, after this past year, after creating a situation where they pushed the party from the beach up into the walk streets and into the bars, and creating a situation where a lot more arrests happened.
Yeah, people would rent houses up just north of the pier. And that's where they would have, like, their team parties and things like that, as opposed to down on the sand.
Right.
And so it all moved up off the beach.
It all moved off the beach into the neighborhoods, and the residents are unhappy. I get it. You're unhappy. People are being rude and obnoxious.
Of course.
So the city now has decided to move this party to the middle of the week.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
So my question is, how many people are going to show up? What fraction of the 50K will show up.
10 to 15.
Think so?
Yeah. It's not going to be a lot of fans. It's just going to be players.
Yeah, it's not going to be buddies taking a Tuesday off.
No. And it's convenient that they did it on Tuesday and Wednesday. So people are thinking they're going to have to go to work either on the Wednesday if they don't make it to Wednesday or on Thursday. So how hard are they going to party?
I think you're going to run into a problem not only with the fans but with the teams. They already had much reduced participation this year.
Absolutely.
And I think you're going to have even further reduced participation.
I read that it cost the city of Manhattan Beach, let's say, $160,000 to put this on.
Well, this was what they were projecting was $120,000 loss. The actual number was far smaller.
Yes.
I have it down
there. It was like $40,000. Like it was, I mean, whatever it was a loss regardless.
Whatever it was a loss on the staffing side of putting so many cops down there, which they choose to do, by the way. They created the situation that requires that many police officers.
Of course.
And then they give you this loss number, never mind the revenue the city receives from 50,000 people buying stuff in the five-block radius and the parking tickets they issue.
Ugh.
And the parking fees and everything else, everything that's created.
And this started out as it's a surf festival. And the volleyball was just part of that surf festival. Now I can't even tell you about the surf festival.
Nobody cares. Unless you're a lifeguard, nobody cares.
Correct.
That's what it is. It's a lifeguard competition. There's boating competitions. There's all kinds of stuff like that, swims and whatnot going on. But nothing, there's no party atmosphere like there is for the six-man.
I want to know if Geeter went to the meeting and if he cried when they said it was going to be on Tuesday and Wednesday.
I guarantee he didn't. He's far too busy and important for those people now.
I guarantee you he cried, though.
Some of his friends cried for sure. But I get it. The city doesn't want to host this party anymore, so I think the party ought to move. If I'm another city, I'm thinking about how I can steal this event. And this was discussed last year.
I think it was brought up this year, too, bringing it down to Hermosa.
Hermosa or go further. Take it somewhere else. Take it to Long Beach where you can drink on the beach.
Yeah, if you're another city and you see all the money that brings in, why not?
50,000 people spending an entire day in your city. And I'm talking 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in your city. You don't think that's a significant revenue number?
It's not like they're coming and going. Like you get there and you're there. You're not going anywhere.
If you own Shellback, a bar on Manhattan Beach Boulevard in Manhattan Beach, two doors up from the pier, you're stoked that that event goes on.
100%.
If you're the city of Manhattan Beach tallying your tax receipts for the year, that's more than a little blip on the radar.
Manhattan Beach is definitely not known for the party atmosphere as Hermosa Beach is. So as the residents...
Hermosa Beach today, yeah.
Today, correct. So the residents, I can see being a little upset, especially now that the party has literally moved off the beach. And they're complaining about underage drinking and all that other stuff. But, like, that's going to happen regardless.
It happens every day.
No doubt.
It happens every weekend.
Yep.
And the party was on the beach before, and they didn't like that. So now here's the law of unintended consequences. You didn't like what was happening before. Well, you actually made it worse.
Yeah. They brought the party to you.
The city and the residents made it worse. So now, before, it was down in front of your multimillion-dollar house. And you didn't like that. Oh, it's disrupting my view and my enjoyment of my view from my multimillion-dollar home.
Now it's right next door.
Yeah. Now it's in,
literally,
it's in your flower bed is where it is. And you brought it there. You invited it. You created the circumstances that made it move to your front door. The Cat in the Hat was down by the pier with thing one and thing two, surfing away, having a great time, not cleaning anything up. And you didn't like that. You don't like the Cat in the Hat. So now the Cat in the Hat's in your door. And the fish in your bowl doesn't like it anymore.
I think the city is okay if this event went away, period.
I think the residents are okay with that. But here's what you have to understand about Manhattan Beach. It's true of several other beach cities, but here's what you have to understand about Manhattan Beach. They want you to come and enjoy your beaches if you are the right kind of person.
Yep.
But you had better be the right kind of person to come and enjoy our beaches. These are our beaches.
They are public beaches?
Yeah, our public beaches. We own these beaches. And it's gotten snootier over the last 15 years as more and more money has moved into the area. It's turned into West LA on the beach. And the old grunge that was Hermosa in particular and Manhattan and Redondo, some of that old grunge has been forced out. And now the new people, we can't have this. That bothers me a little bit.
I'm curious what their reaction will be after this six-man this summer. Because I missed when they changed it a couple years ago. I was out of town for that six-man, but I was around for this one, and I saw it. I saw them put the barriers up around the beaches. They didn't use every single volleyball court that was down there was not used, so you had more room to walk around. But you definitely saw more people up the street, off the pier, in the houses and things like that. So I'm curious if now the consequences of what they're going to do now, how that's going to affect them next year.
They're not only changing the tournament, they're trying to change the statutes in the city so that you cannot rent homes for short-term rentals. Great.
How can you tell somebody they can't rent their home out?
The city can do whatever they want. Cities are little fiefdoms. They just do whatever the heck they want.
That's true.
Yeah, that's definitely on the table for them.
I saw all kinds of Save the Six-Man petitions going on online and all kinds of things. And
Meaningless dribble.
It'll be interesting. I played in the Six-Man twice, won twice, retired.
Who'd you play with? Magnum?
Yep.
God. Got one loss in the finals to you guys in what will be my last six-man appearance.
I think I was on that team, Kevin.
You probably were.
Yep.
I probably didn't like you.
But I'm sure you don't like me now. It's okay.
I like you a lot more than Peter.
He said he called in. Do we just ignore him?
I don't know where he's calling
you. We didn't see him.
He doesn't remember the number, I think, is really what we're getting at.
Calling from some random number somewhere.
It's been so long since he's been on this program that he does not even remember the phone number. But if you're out there and you remember the phone number, 347-677-1525, and you want to call this program, do it. Now's your chance. Jeremy and I are just hanging. We've talked about Women's World Cup. We've talked about Men's World Cup. We're going to be talking a lot about college, coming up with College Volleyball Weekly. Call up. Give us an opinion. We're still struggling with our guest.
They're struggling.
Well, they're struggling with whether it's going to be okay or not. Diana Turnham. And here's gets to the core of some of my complaints about this sport. Because we also talked to John Cook. Had a nice conversation with John Cook via email.
Yep.
Last couple of weeks trying to get him to come on to talk about some of the struggles there. And I sense a overly cautious mentality when it comes to the sport of volleyball. About its exposure and about if you're going to make a mistake or violate a rule or say something somebody wouldn't like or concentrate on the negative. I mean, I don't say this just to John. I say this to things that have gone on with USA Volleyball or things that have gone on with other universities that have had trouble that we've tried to talk to or any other dealings we've had with volleyball organizations where they're so concerned about stepping on someone's toes, potentially stepping on someone's toes, that they resist telling the story and the information doesn't get out there. And let's be clear, in this situation, it's the NCAA who is limiting Diana Turnham's ability to appear on this program, not Diana herself.
Yeah.
So, not Diana, Diane. Let's be clear about that. It's not Diane's issue. For other people we've tried to have on this program, they have made a choice not to address certain things on this program. And my message to the sport of volleyball is that if we're going to ever be a real sport, if this is going to be a sport people have intense interest in, the negative has to come with it.
And it's not that we have to focus on the negative, but negative things happen. You can address it.
It doesn't have to be gratuitous or salacious, but you have to put it out there. You have to acknowledge it and deal with it. And part of the interesting thing about sport is how those things get dealt with. Because sport is a compressed time frame and a parable for life. Nowhere else in business, in careers, and other things can you get the instant gratification of killing a ball, throwing a touchdown, hitting a three-pointer to win the game. You can't have that immediate risk-reward. Yeah, you close a business deal, but it's long-term. Or you sign a contract, but it's long-term. And yes, you have the successful moment, but it's not in that compressed time frame. sports, and one of the reasons it's popular is because you have that compressed time frame. You can experience the highs and the lows inside of such a small space. And I think we need to talk about the lows. If you only talk about the positives, everybody's doing a great job.
You know what that makes me think of?
Yeah. If everyone was doing a great job, then everyone would win the championship every year.
No, that's not the case.
Not quite. Whoever that was that said that. But everybody's not doing a great job. Things are not all rainbows and ponies for Hugh McCutchen. And we need to acknowledge that and deal with it. And how we deal with it, do we deal with it in an extra or Entertainment Tonight way? Do we get Billy Bush? We trot him out here, talk about someone's underpants, what color they are, if there were skid marks. No, we don't have to do that. But can we bring it out and can we talk about it in a Nightline fashion or a Meet the Press fashion? Yes.
Yeah, we're not here trying to, like, get you. You know, we're not following around with cameras like TMZ.
If your name's Nick Lewin, I'm trying to get you.
Well, that's a different story.
Got a caller on the line. 766 in a 310 area code. What's your name? And where are you calling
from? Chris Brown.
Chris Brown. I was hoping we might get Chris Brown.
How you
Chris
doing?
Chris Brown. Now, let me get this correct. President of the California Beach Volleyball Association.
Yep.
And involved with the surf festival, yes or no?
In a very small way, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, Chris Brown calling us because of one other thing we wanted to talk about, the coronation or start of the Beach Hall of Fame out here in Hermosa Beach this past weekend. Chris, you were there. Give our listeners an idea of what happened this weekend, what started, what has been created, and what can people look forward to coming to visit?
Well, absolutely. First of all, I just have to say that the event was absolutely amazing. And I know Dan was there, and he can probably give you some details on it as well. But just the energy and the vibe that was going on in the room was really amazing, and pretty much everybody who I talked to afterwards just said it was by far the best event that they'd ever been a part of. So it was really a special night. And then the actual Hall of Fame we're really excited about. It's located in the Hermosa Beach Museum, which is in downtown Hermosa Beach. And the Historical Society there has partnered with the CBVA to put together a Beach Volleyball Hall of Fame, which, you know, we feel is long overdue and will be just a really great thing for the sport going forward.
Who's funding this? Is this you guys and the Historical Fund?
It was actually started out just with funds from the California Beach Volleyball Association, and we've actually had the Hall of Fame since 1992. We've been inducting members, but we never had a physical location, so it was always just on a piece of paper or on our website. And in fact, I think a lot of the people who were in the Hall of Fame didn't even know that they were in the Hall of Fame or that it existed. So this particular event that took place on Friday night was the culmination of about 3 or 4 years of trying to get, you know, we had to start from scratch, get contact info for everybody. Because when you're talking about guys like Ron Lang, Ron Von Hagen, they left the sport so long ago that it's tough to track down a lot of the people. So the thing that really made the night so special was just who showed up. And, you know, guys like people came from as far away as Alaska, Idaho, and Oregon. And I know Ron Von Hagen drove from Sun Valley, Idaho, which is a pretty amazing commitment. And Mickey McFadden, who was another one of the honorees, flew down from Oregon. It was amazing. And, you know, I ended up at the after party was also just a great time. You had guys like Hovland and Dodd hanging out and talking story with Lang and Von Hagen, and nobody wanted to leave. You know, it was just a really, really great night.
You said people didn't know that they were actually in the Hall of Fame. Does Chris McGee know he's not in the Hall of Fame?
I'm pretty sure that Geeter knows he's not in the Hall of Fame, but that might change one day.
Yeah, he's got to figure out how to get back to his roots if that's going to change. With all the old guys that were there, people that have seen the ups and downs of this sport, what's the general feeling surrounding the sport in its current state? Could you get that from any of the old guys that were there?
A little bit. I don't think people delved into that too much, but I think the overriding feeling was just of how much people care about and love the sport. Obviously people are bummed that there's not a thriving professional league, but from the people I talked to, they also seem to think that that would change. And, of course, when you're talking about people from the 50s and 60s, and a couple of the people who spoke that night actually mentioned, the changes in the game, rally scoring and that, and I guess you'd expect that from the older generation. But other than that, I know they were very appreciative of the contemporary players who actually came, who are still playing. I know Casey Jennings was there and a lot of other top players from today's game. And, they felt very humbled and respected that those people took the time to come and check out the evening's festivities.
I saw some great pictures of guys like Marlowe there, Marlowe looking good, and then, as you mentioned, Hov and Dodd together again.
Yeah.
It just has to be fantastic to, as you mentioned, be in that room, and nobody kind of wants the night to end because everyone's just so stoked on the sport itself.
It was amazing. When people first started showing up, it was kind of my job to usher each Hall of Famer. We had one room where Bruce Hazleton was shooting portraits of them, and then I kind of had to hustle them over into another room where we were sitting them down and shooting video interviews with them, and that content will eventually go into the Hall of Fame. And we will also put together a DVD of the night's festivities, and I'll get in touch with you guys and let you know when that's available. Fox Sports also had a crew there shooting it, although I don't know when they'll use it. But as the Hall of Famers came in one by one, it's funny because I've been working on this thing for 3 or 4 years, like I said, but I really wasn't prepared. I mean, all of a sudden, these guys were walking in. I was like, oh, my God, there's Keith Erickson. There's Greg Lee. There's Jim Mangus, and Gene Selznick, and to usher these guys in and get to chat with all of them, it was just a fantastic night, really, really special for everybody who was there. And for people who didn't get a chance to make it to this one, we will be each year having an event where we induct the new year's Hall of Famers, and each year we will also spotlight some of the original Hall of Fame members who have not been highlighted yet. So, for instance, this year we highlighted Mickey McFadden, Ron Lang, Ron Von Hagen, and Gene Selznick. And we did that because we figured they were kind of like the pioneering crew. And in fact, some people have referred to them kind of as the Mount Rushmore of the sport. And a very special part of what we did was we had each Hall of Famer introduced by another Hall of Famer. And those speeches were classic. Jim Mangus pretty much stole the show. And anyone who saw him speak a couple years ago at the Tournament of Champions dinner probably wouldn't be surprised. But the guy is, you put a mic in his hand and he's just amazing. And, Sharkey Zartman had a really touching and very heartfelt speech for Mickey McFadden. It was just a really, really cool night. And something I think all of us who even were working on it didn't expect it to come off. I expected it to be cool, but was pretty blown away with the turnout and how happy everybody was to be there.
What is the criteria for getting into the Hall of Fame?
I don't have that in front of me right now, but for instance, one of the criteria is that you need to be retired for 5 years. So both Eric Fanoy Moana and Scott Akitubi were there, and they're not yet in. They will both be eligible next year for their first time. They're both absolute no-brainer Hall of Famers. But many people who were in attendance didn't understand that. And at the end of the night, people had some beers, and I had a bunch of people coming up to me going, how is Ak not in? How is Philly not in? But that's and they just didn't understand the criteria. But I think that's part of the fun of what we're doing is I really want to initiate those types of debates, just like people debate, who's in Cooperstown, who are the greatest Hall of Fame baseball players. I want people to look at that list and be like, ooh, that guy's in, I don't know, and or why isn't this person in? You know, so I think that's just another facet of it that will be fun for the sport.
Fantastic. Where can people go if they want to see the Hall of Fame? You mentioned it's in the Downtown Hermosa Historical Society building. Where is that?
It's in Downtown Hermosa Beach. It's on the corner of Pier Avenue and Pacific Coast Highway. And they can just Google the Hermosa Beach Historical Society. And I would really like to thank everybody from the Hermosa Beach Historical Society who worked with us, all the other volunteers that we had work on the project from the CDVA. It really was an event where there were dozens of people working for a long time behind the scenes to make it what it was.
Fantastic. Chris Brown, president of the CBVA, and a man who is doing a lot to increase the visibility of the historical reference of this sport. Chris, thanks very much for being on today.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. It's good. I like it.
I like that we had that. You know, it just I think it adds some fidelity to the sport, the volleyball.
From beach volleyball.
Yes.
Be specific in this case.
True. But, I mean, anything volleyball related, I think, helps the sport overall.
More to come here on the Net Live. Mike Sonheimer going to be on. Brandon Rosenthal going to be on. College Volleyball Weekly. Lots to discuss. List of winners, list of qualifiers, Albany, Daytona, Florida State, Cincinnati, Liberty, Nebraska, Long Beach State, Delaware, Tulsa. The list is going on forever. Sacred Heart, Morehead State, all going to the tournament. Some of these by virtue of conference tournaments. Some of these by automatic qualification with regular season records out of their tournaments. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the selection show to come next week. And more here on the Net Live. I'm Kevin. He's Jeremy. More after the break.
As the ABCA convention draws closer, it continues to be the place where the stars of volleyball connect. On December 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern, San Antonio's Alamo Dome will light up as the top 24 seniors of girls high school volleyball will take the court in the 2011 Under Armour All-American Match and Skills Competition. Admission is complimentary to convention attendees, and tickets will be available for under $15 at both Ticketmaster.com and the Alamo Dome box office. The match will air on ESPNU on December 26th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Support the future stars of the sport and make plans to watch or attend this exciting event.
Just when you think you got it. Welcome back to the Net Live with the Beach Boys.
Really?
A little Green Day?
Yes.
Come on. I got to at least throw it out there, otherwise I'll be getting all kinds of more emails from people.
Still funny to me how
text
people,
messages.
People come up to me at events and be like, oh, Kevin doesn't know this song, Kevin doesn't know that song.
Sheesh.
Now it's kind of taking on a thing of its own.
That's good.
Apparently,
that's good.
Apparently you know nothing about music.
That's okay. I'm all right with that. I know nothing about a lot of things.
Now, it's your thing.
That's right. My thing is to know nothing, which could mean that I could be a great celebrity because apparently
you don't need
celebrity nowadays. You know nothing about nothing.
You don't need to.
That's your whole thing.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you don't even brush your teeth if you're Lindsay Lohan.
Ew.
Gosh, has she fallen? Like, I can't think of anyone offhand who's fallen quite as far.
And why do we even still pay attention to her is my thing.
I mean, even Shannon Daugherty now is doing, like, paid colleges promotions. You know, she's now, like, the new Sally Struthers. She hasn't fallen as far as Lindsay Lohan.
I mean, it's just, what has Lindsay done so well that we have to care so much about what she's doing?
Yeah, ever.
Yeah.
I don't even remember why she's famous. Her mother is a loon. Her father's a criminal.
That's not going to bode well for you.
That's crazy. I don't even know why is she even famous? Why do I remember that she was even relevant for anything?
She was probably in some teeny bopper movie that you like.
I may have seen it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I literally can't tell you one thing she's been in.
We've got the College Volleyball Weekly coming up. Our correspondent's going to be calling in. There's lots to talk about. The results this week were astonishing as you went through them. UCLA goes down. Cal goes down. Illinois goes down. I don't know. It's back and forth. Teams are tired. It's a long season. I don't know what the deal is.
It's going to be a string tournament.
Yeah, we're going to talk to them.
Mean Girls. Somebody just wrote it on the...
The Parent Trap is also in there. Thank you, Cam Kerr.
Man.
Mean Girls.
I don't know. I
somebody get her a Crest sponsorship already. Jesus. All right, so DJ Roche, you were this past week, you were out of town, actually for like 10 days.
I was out of the country, 8 days.
8 days, down in Turks and Caicos, and we mentioned your own volleyball game, but this is relevant to our show because this is, in fact, a volleyball event.
It's a volleyball vacations.
Albert Hanneman production?
Correct.
Okay.
It's kind of like a fantasy camp like you would think of like football or basketball. Except for this, you actually get to hang out with the pros.
It's like the Michael Jordan experience, except the pros are there in a stateroom next to you and every night out having a good time with
yes.
you.
Yes, yes. I mean...
So some of the pros who were there, I saw Mark Cairns, former pro.
Mark Cairns was there. St. John Smith. Elaine Youngs.
Okay, those are all old people. How about relevant new people?
Sean Rosenthal.
Okay, sounds very relevant to me.
And by the way, people just want Rosie... They want to play against him and have him hit as hard as they can at him.
As hard as he can?
As hard as he can.
Yeah.
They're like, just swing away, Sean.
Yeah.
I don't want Sean to swing away at me.
And they want Casey Patterson to boom on them
yes.
if he was there?
If he was there, they would
right.
play boom every single time.
Right. Saw some of the current female players there, a couple of my favorites.
Jen Snyder was there.
There you go.
Jess Geisen was there. She's going to be good on the beach, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Talking about their game.
Whitney okay. Pavlik was there.
Had a good season.
She's hilarious, by the way.
She is. Okay.
Like I didn't, you know, I've met her a couple times on tour, but this is the first time I really got to hang out with her and talk to her. And she's literally speaking the entire time she plays. Not necessarily to you. She's just talking, like she's commentating about what's happening as the play is going on.
She is talking around you.
Correct. Correct. But I was there for 8 days. DJed 3 out of the 4 nights I was there. There were about 130 people that came.
Hold on. You were there for 8 days and 4 nights? What kind of strange time warp is that?
Okay, so I was there for 7 nights.
Okay, so you DJed 3 of those.
It's all kind of a blur, Kevin. I'm solo tired. My time clock's not back yet.
You just get to hang out otherwise?
I side out during the day, buddy. I like volleyball, Kevin. I played volleyball during the day, DJed at night.
Okay.
It's good times. Volleyballvacations.com.
If people want to go. How many
go.
Events a year? There's a couple, aren't there?
Yeah, they did. This one, this time of year is the biggest one. They do other ones where I have like 40 or 50 people that go, but this trip to Turks, this was my third trip to Turks.
How many people there?
For this trip, there's probably 130, but it's at a Club Med resort.
Yeah.
So there was ton of people there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's all inclusive. Once you get there, you literally don't have to pay for anything else once you're there.
Now, I don't know if Albert is the originator of this idea. I've never heard of it otherwise.
Yeah.
Outside of him doing it for, what, the last 10 plus years?
I think it's been like 15 years.
It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. I know there's some other smaller ones that go other places in Mexico. I mean, Albert's gone to Cancun as well. I know there's some other companies that do this, but this is the only one that I'm really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like it. I mean, you meet people from all over the world. I mean, there are people from Italy, from France, like I said, from Scotland. I mean, people come from all over the world for this. And I've been to Turks a few times now, and the beach is amazing. The sand's unbelievable. The water's unbelievable. The people there are unbelievable. I mean, it's just a good time. You will make friends for life on these trips. Literally for life.
How often do you see these people? They come back year after year?
There was a 70% return rate this year from last year.
Wow. So volleyballvacations.com is where people can go.
Yep.
I don't know why Matt Gardhawk hasn't been on one of these yet.
Maybe he can't take time off work. He's busy doing push-ups with his daughter on his back.
He's busy CrossFitting now.
Yep.
After hearing about it on this show.
Had another rain party while I was there, Kevin.
Rain party? Is this different than a foam party?
Yes.
Okay, tell me.
Tuesday night, we had a beach party. I was underneath a roof, so I had covering. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, started to rain. And mind you, this night was white theme night, so everybody had white clothing on. Just
okay.
To give you the
white out.
White out.
It's like Miami.
Yes.
Okay.
So about 2 o'clock starts to rain. It's a little bit of a sprinkle. It's warm out, so it's not cold. A little bit of a sprinkle. People.
It would mean if you say it's warm, it would generally mean that it's not cold.
Correct. I don't like your attitude. Who's telling the story? And about 2:15, it starts to absolutely downpour. Like, I might as well just dumped a bucket on your head. That's how wet you were.
Okay.
People stayed. There was a stage in the middle of the beach. Everybody jumped on the stage, about 30 people. The stage is probably safe for maybe 10. 30 people jump on the stage. It is just downpouring rain at 2:15 in the morning, and they all stayed until 3 when I shut it down. Ended the night with purple rain. And it's those memories, Kevin, I'm telling you. Those are the things that you'll remember from this trip.
I won't remember it.
You won't, but everybody else who's there will.
Okay.
And I will. Cam Kerr asked what the ages are like. You get anywhere from, you know, probably mid-20s to, you know, there was a lady there who was 69. Just got into volleyball recently. Got to play, we played a co-ed doubles tournament, and she played with Sean Rosenthal.
Nice.
They won a match. It was the greatest experience of her life. She was crying and shaking after the game.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cam Kerr says he wants to go on one. Just remember, Cam, the weather's a lot better in Turks and Caicos than it is in Canada right now.
At all times, probably.
I don't know. Maybe August in Vancouver, pretty nice.
Still probably better in Turks.
Yeah, but Cam Kerr's not in Vancouver, so.
Isn't Cam like Toronto or Quebec?
Yeah,
or
Toronto, Quebec.
Some other Canadian city that nobody's aware of.
He and a bunch of other hosers with their coats on.
Cam would have a good time. On volleyball vacations, for sure. I love watching the chat board.
Yeah. It's got its own thing going on. Always in
yeah.
Toronto.
Toronto. Same thing. Quebec, Toronto. It's the same thing, right?
I'm sorry, Cam. After Strange Brew, everyone thought differently of Canadians. It's just the way it is. People of a certain age understand how you grow a mouse in a bottle and you get free beer. Just how it works, my man.
That's great.
We've got the College Volleyball Week coming up. Word has it that we are going to have Diane Turnham here on the program. Going to get her in at 11:30.
Did you have to get questions approved?
You know, I'm not sure.
You're not sure what you're allowed to ask?
I'm not sure that it's even 100% yet.
I like that we're teasing it, though.
Well, teasing ourselves, perhaps. So, still undetermined, I guess. I just got word now as we're sitting here. This is a show on the fly today.
I like it.
Not always this way. So, let's get underway here. Jeremy, it's going to take me a second to cue this up because...
Don't we all know what song it is?
Well, we do. And we all know that I just want to give a chance for Mike Sonheimer to press mute on his computer.
Just get forewarn him that it's coming so he can just walk away.
That's right. We're going to try this one because we haven't played this in a while, but here it comes. That's what I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Post of last season for the men we played this. The Net Live and the American Volleyball Coaches Association are proud to present each week a collegiate volleyball update. A recap of what was and a look forward to what will be in the sport of collegiate volleyball, men's and women's. And right now it's the women taking center stage as they head on toward playoffs. The NCAA tournament field of 64 is getting filled in. The bracket is looking good. We've had a lot of crazy results in this last week, and I want to bring into the show our usual correspondents, Brandon Rosenthal and Mike Sonheimer. If Mike can even hear us and get his cue over this lovely music from across town. Big finish coming, Sondi. There it is. Sonheimer, welcome.
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. Thanks for sticking it out. And Brandon Rosenthal, we need to start introducing him as three consecutive A-Sun Championship coach, Brandon Rosenthal, and his Lipscomb Lady Bears.
And it's got a pretty ring to it. I like it.
And where do you think you're going to get sent for the first round?
Yeah, you're going to go to Dayton. We all know that because that's all the NCAA does with you is send you to Dayton.
I've been to the tournament three times and have never left the state of Ohio, even though Tennessee is, you know, still a little bit of ways. But my guess would probably be, Tennessee or Kentucky. I think both schools kind of put in for that bid, so they're both pretty close.
Well, we have been developing a bit of a NetLive curse when it comes to Kentucky and the like, where we have a coach on, we have an interview, they go out and kill it that next match, and then they think that it's just easy street from there because they've been on the show and they have that power, not realizing our power is only good for one more match. And that you will,
yeah,
in fact, lose your second match out, no matter the win streak. Florida State also fell victim to that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Madden curse. So, I don't know. You guys are it's going to be tough to get guests on.
Now, listen, we haven't interviewed these coaches recently. We've talked to them, and maybe that's just enough. Let's talk about UCLA. Sondi, what is going on? UCLA gets crushed by Arizona. Not beaten, crushed.
Well, the one thing I can tell you is there's certain teams, when they play certain teams, they're going to struggle. There's 10, like I said all along, 10 to 15 teams that have a chance to get to San Antonio and probably 8 to 10 teams that can win it. And Dave Ribbio has a really good game plan and he has outstanding outside hitters, and they played very well against UCLA. And then I watched SC on Saturday look like the number one team in the country, well-deserved. McKaylee's team has come along great as the season's gone along, moving Sarah Shaw in the starting lineup and Alexis Olgaard, and they are the team to beat right now for the NCAAs, but they play UCLA on Friday, and we'll see. Something could change.
Yeah, the top 25 just out, hot off the presses over there at the ABCA. Number one, Southern Cal, maintaining that spot. Nebraska moving up to number two from four. Hawaii, three, a big jump from number six. UCLA falls to four, Texas five. Stanford 6, Illinois 7, Purdue 8, Penn State and Cal rounding out the top 10. And speaking of Cal, number 3, Cal had a brutal week, absolutely brutal week. They were number 3, and as I mentioned, number 10 now, a huge fall, but after losing to Oregon and Oregon State, Mike, what on earth is going on?
Well, I think some teams have caught up with the Bears. They're not as strong as they were earlier in the year. They're having some troubles with passing and playing, but what's interesting is the Bears have to beat Stanford this week to have any chance of even remote chance of being in the top 16. Otherwise, they may have a trip to Hawaii for first and second round.
That could be a bad result for them, Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, with Brandon on the phone, I mean, I think I've looked at the RPI, and Cal's RPI is going to be somewhere, you know, if they beat Stanford, in the 20s at best. So if they follow the pattern from last year, even though Cal may be ranked in the top 10, there's no way they're going to be seated in the top 16. And they're going to go someplace, Oregon's right in the bubble where they're going to be in the top 16, even though in the last 2 weeks they've beaten UCLA, Stanford, and California in five sets. They may be going on the road someplace, possibly to Hawaii. Who knows? And I feel sorry. If Hawaii is going to get to host, they're probably going to get one of those two teams, or even Washington, that's just outside the top 10 that had a good week. One of those Pac-12 teams is going to Hawaii, I get a feeling.
Brandon, let's look at number 7, Illinois, formerly number 7, Illinois. They lost to Michigan State. They defeated Michigan. Now, this is a team that was ranked number one for the first time about halfway through this season. What has happened with Illinois as they, again, remain at seven for this week?
Well, I just think it's, you know, part of the season. And, you know, the season gets long right about now. You see some, you know, tough losses. You know, it's away at Michigan State. And it's really tough right now. Yeah, I don't think you're seeing the dominant teams that you've seen in the past where, you know, you've got nothing but, you know, wins. I think that it shows the strength of the Big Ten, and, you know, it's going to be interesting, not only them, but just also in some of the other conferences, the SEC, you know, who's going to get in, who's going to be left out as far as when it comes Sunday selection showtime.
Yeah, some of the teams that are already in, as we mentioned a list earlier, but then also Delaware, Tulsa, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Yale, Niagara, Central Michigan, Maryland, East Shore took the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference with their tournament, Colorado State, Sacred Heart, Morehead State, USC, American University, Tennessee, with at least a share, I guess, Texas State, Jackson State, North Dakota State, Western Kentucky, and my own Pepperdine Waves take down the WCC regular season record. Mike, talk to me about the advantages or disadvantages of a regular season qualification versus a playoff qualification, a tournament style, as Brandon just went through this past weekend.
I've always liked the regular season over the postseason because the postseason means it's another week in a good conference of all-out grind of trying to have your team ready to go for two or three matches. And I think the way the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the, you know, basically the Big 12 and the Big 10, I think the conference champion goes in and they go in a little fresher into NCAAs than a team coming off a conference championship. I always thought it hurt the SEC when they used to have the conference, you know, playoffs, and I think that's better the way they're doing it now. And in basketball, it's been the same. You know, they have these great tournaments to raise money in basketball. It doesn't really raise money in volleyball, but I think, you know, it's a long season, as, you know, Brandon knows as a coach. I just think it's an extra week of grind.
Doesn't it take away, though, from the opportunity for a team that's hot late in the season to make that miracle run, that dream run through, and get an NCAA bid?
With 64 teams, I think there's a great chance. I mean, I know in some of the smaller conferences, I think it's great to have it because they're going to be one and done, and they get to the NCAA tournament. But I think for the bigger conferences, I mean, the Big 12 is looking at 5 or 6 teams. The Big 10 is looking at 8 or 9 teams. The Pac-12 is looking at 6 or 7 teams. I don't think it really matters. Brandon, what do you think? You're a coach.
I think about Brandon and his situation and looking at last year where they were something close to 27-5, undefeated in their conference. Had they not won their conference tournament, they may not have gotten into the NCAAs. And it seems like when you – I guess an argument against some of these conference tournaments is you hold that thing and then the powerhouse loses, but then the RPI and all the other stuff doesn't factor in enough for them to go despite the fact they had a fantastic season. They just couldn't get it done on one night. Brandon?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, there's pros and cons to it. I think that the regular season, you know, having done it a couple times ourselves, you know, when we hadn't won the regular season, I would have definitely voted, you know, or been in favor of the tournament just because I think it is a special atmosphere. It's a special time, you know, for the players to, you know, lay it all on the line. But, you know, after 20 matches or whatever, you know, the conference season is somewhere between 15 to 20 matches. It is a grind of a season, and, you know, it definitely would be it would be a lot of fun to, you know, be able to say, hey, listen, we won the regular season, now we're in the tournament, but, you know, in a lot of these conferences, this is the way we do it, and, you know, there's no reason complaining about it. We just got to get it done.
Agreed.
All right, so we have listed some of the teams that are already in. Brandon, this includes you and Lipscomb University as you crushed Belmont and the Belmont faithful again there in that crosstown rivalry in Nashville in that final to take down your third straight ASUN championship. But let's talk about some of the teams that are on the bubble, teams that you think may or may not get in this tournament. Mike, we'll start with you.
I think you have to look at the Big Ten and a team like Michigan that right now is down in Northwestern. They're sitting like down in like 8th and 9th place in the conference, in Wisconsin. All those teams, the issue is going to be is how many are going to get in from the NCAA committee. Michigan State locked in their spot by beating Illinois. They're up in the top 5. And, I mean, with Minnesota there, it's just how many spots. And whether Arizona, I think on the bubble in the Pac-12, I think they need to beat Arizona State twice this weekend. They may have locked their spot in by beating UCLA. But those kind of teams are sitting on the bubble in terms of the SEC. We know Florida and Tennessee and Kentucky are going to get in. Whether the next team is going to get in, whether LSU is on the bubble of getting in or not getting in Arkansas, those kind of teams. So it's the bigger schools, how many they're going to get out of their conferences, I think is going to really matter in how many of these other schools get two. I mean, I think even a school like University of San Diego, which is a strong second in the conference, they're sitting on the bubble of getting in.
Well, that's a pretty decent conference, too. When you talk about the WCC, we're not talking about a small conference there with the question of San Diego getting in.
No, they should be in, but, I mean, you never know because they've got one good non-conference win over Michigan. Their schedule isn't that strong. They didn't beat Pepperdine, who's a conference champion. And, again, they should be in. They've been apparently into the NCAA. Their conference is, I think, a very good conference. I mean, after Long Beach State, I don't think anybody's going to get in from the Big West Conference. But I think Brandon deals with it all the time. It's just tough to see in some of these conferences. You know, Notre Dame got to the finals of the Big East. It puts Louisville more in the bubble, but I don't think Notre Dame's got an overall schedule. They may not get in.
Yeah, I was just going to say Louisville is an interesting story. You know, being on the bubble right now, I think them and MTSU who lost in the championship match to Western Kentucky, and Western Kentucky moves up, you know, into the top 25. I think we've been talking about them all year long. Western Kentucky, I believe, is 31-3, so not really a bad loss by, you know, any means.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting. And, you know, you talk about teams like a Louisville, you talk about teams like Middle Tennessee. I think one thing that's going to bode well for them is their tradition of being in the tournament. And one thing I have found, not only for our squad, but for other teams, is that definitely helps. If you are perennially in the tournament, that helps in a way that, you know, when it comes down to them picking those last couple teams. And I would suspect that both Louisville and quite possibly MTSU are going to be in the tournament based on their tradition.
Does it also help to be geographically close to someone who might end up hosting one of the events?
You know, that's a great question, and that's, you know, kind of one of those things that I think everybody is interested to see what's going to happen now with the top 16 teams being given that opportunity to have that chance to host. I think it's going to be real, you know, interesting, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a couple schools that are hosting, and you're going to have, you know, 5 or 6 schools, you know, within that geographical region. So now all of a sudden, what do we do after we get, you know, the 4 in? Do we send them clear across the country or what?
Well, taking that one step further, you look at the West. If UCLA, USC, and Stanford all get to host along with Hawaii, there aren't 12 other teams to put in that bracket. If Pepperdine somehow ends up a top 16 seed and gets to host, then what are they going to do? So, I mean, I'm just sitting wondering if the NCAA committee, since Pepperdine's going to be right in the bubble, ends up making Pepperdine 17 and sending them to one of those places to avoid having another West Coast, you know, place to host, because it's going to cost them a lot of money to send out, you know, the 5th place team in the Big 10 or the 4th place team in the Big 12 or the SEC 4th team, because someone's going to have to come out west to fill that bracket. Because right now you're looking at San Diego, if they got in, they'd have to go someplace. Long Beach State, if they win the Big West, they're going to go someplace. You know, but there's not that many other teams out in the West. Whoever wins the Big Sky is a team that can end up, you know, someplace in the West also.
You know, one other thing that will be interesting is at the end of this week is really trying to figure out the RPI. And just to kind of give you a story here, if you would just to take the AVCA top 25, and I realize that's not what they're taking, but you know, let's say, for instance, you've got 15 at, you know, Tennessee's at 15th, Kentucky at 16, and Florida at 17. A really kind of a side note would be, hey, here's 3 teams from the same conference, not only vying for their championship, which Kentucky and Tennessee play on Wednesday for the SEC championship, but it's more so than that. They're vying for that 16th spot, you know, and that ability to host. So it should get real interesting, you know, come Saturday afternoon.
It definitely. And you got Florida State on the bubble also. You got a Pepperdine team that beat Florida State. They're battling for a spot, but Florida State, you know, won their conference impressively. But Pepperdine also lost to Miami. But Pepperdine, you know, went 5 with Michigan. And you got a lot of things. I mean, you got Minnesota. I mean, Texas, like another example. Texas up for number one seed. They've got an injury to Cat Bell. The NCAA is supposed to consider injuries. But Texas earlier in the year lost twice to Minnesota. They lost to Florida. You know, Iowa State's up there in RPI because they beat Florida on their home Do they end up getting a 2 seed or a 3 seed? Northern Iowa has 1 loss and 5 sets to Minnesota, be unbeaten. They've beaten a lot of teams that are, you know, in the bottom half of the top 20. Does Northern Iowa end up with a number one seed? So those things, besides, you know, where they're putting teams, it's like who's going to go where, because certain teams are going to say, oh, this is a great bracket, and someone else may end up saying, oh, I can't believe I got this bracket, because I think Hawaii is going to still have trouble getting a number one seed on strength of schedule.
Oh, the curses of having 64 teams in a tournament and trying to make sense of the seeding both financially and in fairness. Guys, we know that there's still some things to be determined. Brandon, you mentioned Kentucky and Tennessee on Wednesday. Also have Big 12 is yet to be determined. Their champion has not been determined. You look at the Big Sky, they haven't determined their champion. That will happen November 25th and 26th. Give us something to watch here in this shortened holiday week of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest you know match out there right now is that Tennessee Kentucky match. It's on Wednesday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. You know, more so than them vying for that SEC championship, it's, you know, both of them vying for that, you know, top 16 spot to host. You know, beyond that, this is the first time that you're going to have a champion that's not named Florida in a long time. So I think there's a lot going into that. Kentucky won the first match at Kentucky in 5. I think it's going to be a real, real dogfight. You've got some wonderful players there. Tiffany Baker on the outside for Tennessee has really picked up her game to go along and compliment Kelsey Robinson. But, you know, on the other side of the net with Kentucky, Whitney Billings is playing real strong volleyball, and the defensive effort, you know, behind Clefoot and Napper are really going to, you know, give some tough pairings for Tennessee.
I think that was a net live win for Kentucky after we had him on the show.
It was, and then you know what happened. They lost to Mississippi State, so
right.
It's a good thing we don't have any coaches on the show. Probably that's why no coaches are on the show today.
That's right. Nobody willing to come on pre-tournament. All right, Mike, what are you watching this week?
I think you really have to look at two things. One, USC is playing great. If USC can come into UCLA and beat them, they clearly establish themselves, I think, as the team that's favored going into the NCAA tournament. If they don't win, it becomes even more wide open. And secondly, California is on a real bad streak of losing like 3 out of 4. They're playing Stanford at Stanford. They need a win, I think, really just to have some confidence going to the NCAA tournament. And on the same token, Stanford needs that win, because if Stanford gets that win, I think they put themselves in a position for a 2 or 3 seed on strength of schedule and a chance to potentially get back to another NCAA semifinal that they've, you know, been there basically more than just about anybody else outside of Penn State lately.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you both for coming in here. It's going to be an interesting holiday week, and much more will be clarified after the selection show on Sunday, and we can spend next week talking about who didn't get in and why, or who did get in and why. It'll all be done.
No Mike question Donner, about it.
Great
I think it's going to be a great week.
All right, see you later.
Take care.
College Volleyball Weekly. It's going to be interesting. It always is, of course. That's why sports is the best reality show. 64 teams. I like that. It's a plethora. It's not something I'm used to for the men's game. All right, we've been going back and forth with this Diane Turnham thing. You're going to have to hang in there through the break to see if we actually end up with Diane on the line. A lot of the issues we just talked about, we can talk to her about. She is the head of the selection committee. Been on the selection committee for a couple of years. I'm going to bring her in and hammer her with questions.
That's not helping.
Should we go all Nick Lewin on her?
Just put her on hold.
Well, hopefully she's not in a bathroom when she calls.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. Professionalism in our sport. The NCAA has it with many of these folks, and we're looking forward to having Diane. The Net Live, when we come back, could be Diane Turnham, could be the end of the show. You're going to have to hang on, find out.
I love the suspense. Teaser.
All right, right back.
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for over 20 years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sports' biggest stars. Whether you're interested in junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com and subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle with $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottle Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine.
You the rest of the show.
I gotta listen to music all week just so I can not get embarrassed each time you play some fantastic tunes on this show, Jeremy. Appreciating your presence, even though it causes me grief.
I appreciate you appreciating me.
Welcome to the Net Live. Glad you're still here, hanging in there, trying to find out if we're gonna have Diane. My gosh, we are struggling back and forth with this one. Before it was the NCAA. This is not Diane, by the way, refusing to come on, willing to come on.
She wants to come on.
She wants to come on, talk to us. The NCAA, not so sure. Understandable. Probably don't listen to our show, but if they did, there wouldn't even be any discussion. They'd say, no, you couldn't go on. So here we are, hanging out, talking about our T-shirts, ballofclothing.com. Get some T-shirts. TheNetLive@gmail.com. Send us some email. We love email.
Even if it's hate email.
Hey, it's not always going to make air, but you are contributing to the narrative that is this program. Believe me, we read it. I've appreciated all the good notes we've gotten. Get on the chat board during the program. If you're on here live, if you have a chance to listen live, get on the chat board. If you're getting this via podcast, fantastic. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to get Geeter back here on the show eventually. I think next Monday, Geeter may have to host the show, Jeremy.
Interesting.
Will you be here?
I will be here.
Okay. So there will be a show, I believe.
As of right now.
Well, I won't be here. I have to work World Cup.
Have to. I like that.
It pays. I work. So we'll be doing that stuff. But we are going to continue to try and expand the narrative of this sport. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to be a part of the show, we are going to be in San Antonio. Coming up December 15th through the 19th, I will be flying down there. 15th, I believe, is a Wednesday. The show will occur on Friday afternoon after the All-American Banquet in the morning. I think we're looking at a 2-5 timeline. Going to be right there in the main room of convention.
That's going to be awesome, by the way.
It's an awesome atmosphere for volleyball. There's no greater gathering of volleyball coaches in the world anywhere than a convention. It is the number one event.
I got to say, I am a little bummed. I can't be there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be in Qatar.
Qatar, getting paid.
You know, it's the experience, too. But I really would have loved to have been in San Antonio for this.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
You like circus?
Sure. Just kidding.
So it's going to be a good event. Come on out. Check it out. Talk to us. Come by our booth. We're looking at putting together a contest with a good prize. It's going to be fun. Volleyball structure to it. I'll have the official details when we announce them, but we'll be blowing it out with Volleyball Magazine.
You're going to teach people how to jump serve?
No, I will not be. Yeah, from a standing position, this is how you hit the topspin, sir, from a standing position. I wonder if they have any good dirt bike tracks down there. I take my bike with me. See? But that time it took 2 hours to work in a reference. That's a record, hour and a half,
reference?
I think, yeah. That is an all-time record for those of you keeping track, Cam Kerr, as to when the first motocross reference comes out.
It's impressive.
Yeah. Just means we had stuff to talk about. It's going to be an interesting week. Hey, you got to pay attention to Men's World Cup because this is 11 matches, 14 days. So you got to stay up on it here. You got to keep track of what's happening with that team. Right now, coming off a split 1-1. There it is, 235. Thank you. Cam, I think it's 135. Don't give me too much credit there, my man. But you keep track of this tournament because this is no break. No break at all. You play 3 days, you travel, you play 3 days, you travel, and so on. You have 11 matches in those 14 days.
And we'll know a lot more by next Monday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have an idea where those men are going to be. It's tough. It's going to be tough. Our own Reed Pretty, we've been checking in with him during the week, but obviously he is busy. It is early morning there in Japan, and we thank the good nature of the universe that he's not awake.
Yes.
At 3 a.m.
It's probably a good call by him.
Got to get some rest.
The team appreciates it.
All right, well, no word yet. Well, here we go. Still nothing. We'll have to have her on post.
Maybe it could be an off-air interview.
Yeah, well, just do a post next week. I'll have her talk to Geeter. So that's a scratch, Diane Turn. I'm sorry about that, folks. That was a timing issue, an issue of the NCAA not providing clearance for Diane to join us. Just another reason for us to hammer them here on the show. As if we needed another one.
Do they know it's probably better to put her on the show than not put her on the show?
You know, it's a question of how much influence we have. We have to leverage that. So we appreciate you joining us here on this episode of the Net Live. It's been a fun one. Lots to talk about six-man, about partying and volleyball. Good college week coming up here. Going to be a great college week of action. Get out there and check it out. Lots of questions to be answered. The selection show, of course, will happen on Sunday, so you'll know who's in that tournament. We will have a recap of who is in that tournament coming up on Monday, and we will effort to talk to Diane at that time, talk about how those decisions were made. I can't imagine being her. I mean, how much indigestion do you have to go along with your turkey if you're trying to get this whole thing done?
Because every year there's going to be some – this. You're not going to make everybody happy. It's just impossible.
No, especially not me in the show.
Well, obviously. 64 teams, so there's going to be some left out. There's going to be some that people are like, oh, they should have made it. It's just, I can't imagine having that job.
You're talking about 300 Division I teams, so it's not an easy decision to come to. But we appreciate you being here. We'll sign off for today. DJ Roche, spin up something that I might know.
You're not going to know this. This is for Reed.
For Reed DePogo?
Yep. Listen to on the bus.
We're waiting for it. This has been another episode of The Net Live. We appreciate you tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Have fun. Be safe. Eat tons of turkey and enjoy some football. The Lions are good. What kind of strange year is this? Shake that off.
Yeah, you're okay. Did that hurt to say that out loud?
Bears and Eagles victorious this past weekend, just as a note. I'm Kevin. He's Jeremy. Chris and Reed, they're wherever they are. We'll see you again next week. Thanks a lot. Never sleep, never get tired.